ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the 7th canto, chapter 15, chapter entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Kshiti adinam ihartanam chayana katamapihi न संघातो विकारोपि न प्रथन्नान्वितो मृषा। But one tree does not depend on another tree. If one is cut down, this does not mean that the others are cut down. Therefore, the forest is neither a combination nor a transformation of the trees. The best explanation is given by Krishna himself. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham tvesha avasthitah. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. As it is said, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The Lord has multi energies, which are expressed in different ways. The energies are existing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously. Because everything is His energy, He is simultaneously one with everything and different from everything. Thus, our speculative theories that Atma, the living force, is a combination of matter, that the matter is transformation of the soul, or that the body is part of the soul, are all insubstantial. Since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although He is everything, He is not present in everything. The Lord must be worshipped in His original form as Krishna. He can also present Himself in any one of His various expanded energies. When we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. Now, because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, He is not stone or wood, yet stone and wood are not different from Him. Thus, by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. But when the stone and wood are represented in the Lord's original form, by worshipping the deity, we get the desired result. This is supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda, which explains how the Lord can present Himself everywhere and anywhere in a form of His energy to accept service from the devotee. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees. I am sure that there are many other Vaishnavas who could speak and explain this verse more convincingly and wonderfully, but as a process of purification for myself, I just try to express my understanding in this verse of Bhagavatam. And so in this chapter we have seen earlier how Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj, there is a talk going on between them, and Narad Muni gives different instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj, telling him about what are the duties in Varnashram for brahmacharis, for vanaprasthas, for sannyasis. And now we come to this shloka over here, where translation says, in this world there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether. But the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination or transformation of them. Because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated, all such theories are insubstantial. So, what I thought is, we will read some part of the purport, try to understand that, and then step by step go ahead as I try to understand this particular verse. Prabhupada quotes, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam, and he says that, as it is said, the Lord has multi energies which are expressed in different ways. Both the energies are existing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously. So the Lord, the material energy, the living entity, there are many energies of the Lord. The living entities are also one of the energies of the Lord. So the Lord is existing, and simultaneously his energies are also existing. So in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th verse, Lord Krishna says to Arjuna that neither you nor me nor all these kings, natva evaham jato nasham natva neme janadipa. There was never a time when you did not exist, I did not exist, or all these kings present, they did not exist. And nor shall in the future they cease to exist. They will always be there. And yet, although we are all existing simultaneously, we are not God. You know, like I may say, I have my contemporary and I am as good as him. But here it is not that case. The Lord, and therefore Prabhupada quotes from, he mentions, he doesn't quote over there, Kata Upanishad or Shvetashvatara Upanishad, he says, gives references to that. And in that Upanishad, it is mentioned, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. How the Lord is always the maintainer and the living entity is the maintained. So they coexist, but still one is maintained and the other is the maintainer. And in the purport there are many Mayavadi philosophies which Srila Prabhupada defeats. And one thing that the Mayavadis mention is that the soul is separated and at the same time it dissolves with the impersonal Brahman. So Srila Prabhupada refutes this philosophy by saying that the nature of the soul is that it is insoluble. It cannot be dissolved. Another Mayavadi theory is that the soul is breakable. It is separated and it is broken away. And it can be broken. And therefore in future it will dissolve and mix and become one in homogeneous impersonal Brahman. So Prabhupada defeats that by mentioning that the nature of the soul is that it is unbreakable. All of us are unbreakable. And that is mentioned in the next shloka of 2.13. And also there is a reference in the 23rd shloka to that theory. That how, and so the conclusion of that is that Mayavadis have such conception that although separated, they are one with the Lord. The conclusion is that because they are envious of the Lord, they cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by the devotees of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada further mentions over here, the energies are existing, the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously. Because everything is his energy. He is simultaneously one with everything and different from everything. Everything is the Lord's energy, and the Lord is one with and different from. And thus, our speculative theories that Atma, the living force, is a combination of matter. So there are three different theories mentioned over. One is that Atma is a combination of matter. Matter is a transformation of soul. Or body is part of the soul. So these three different things are given, and Prabhupada writes, such theories are all insubstantial. And I just took one. Atma is a combination of matter. So, again in the Gita, in the second chapter, 2.26, Atha Chainam Nitya Jatam Nityam Va Manyase Mritam. Over there, Srila Prabhupada mentions that during the time of 5,000 years back, there were two different types of philosophers who were existing, other than the many others, the Vaibhashikas and Lokayatikas. And the Vaibhashika philosophy is that at one point of time, matter develops living force in it. It is dead, and at one time of maturity, their life force comes in matter. So Krishna and Arjuna are having a talk, and Krishna tells Arjuna that if you believe in this, and if you even if you don't believe in the Vaibhashika philosophy, which is this, and then also there is no lamentation and there is no need for you to run away from the battlefield, still you should fight. Why? Because if you consider that the bodies of the Kurus is a combination of chemicals, then every day so many chemicals are wasted. Nuclear energy, in warfare, and so many other things. So, still there is no need for you to lament, and there is no excuse for you for not fighting. So Arjuna is trying to dodge Krishna, but Krishna always catches Arjuna in every place that, no, you cannot. If you think that they are chemicals, they are not the soul, still you have to kill them, because so many things are destroyed and there is no lamentation. So Srila Prabhupada further goes on to say, so therefore all these philosophies are insubstantial, that Atma is combination of matter, matter is a transformation of soul, or body is part of the soul. Since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although He is everything, He is not present in everything. So the Lord is mentioned, He is everything, but He is not present in everything. How do we understand this? A very simple example is given, that the king, he has supreme power, and he conducts his kingdom or different departments by his energies. He has different people who take care of these energies, and so the king is not present in each department. He is sitting in one place, still all the departments are moving very smoothly. Like in our temple, we may have so many different departments. We have accounts department, we have kitchen department, we have so many other departments. And we may have one governing body commission. He may not be present here. He may be traveling somewhere. But we have all the departments running very nicely for his pleasure. And all facilities are... So if someone comes over, he may wonder that how everything is going on so smoothly. So that is one example. Yesterday, His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhu gave a very nice class, very heart-touching. And I was thinking about this example, connecting to him while having a talk with him, that he is present. He was earlier preaching in New Vrindavan, West Virginia. And because of visa, he's come here. So, mornings, he keeps calling. So, I wonder, whom are you calling to? Talking on the phone, taking the Bhagavatam, reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Said, you're reading to someone on the phone. He said, no, I am doing a conference call. I asked him, what is a conference call? He said, almost 20 people come together in different parts in the West. And they all, through some internet phone connection, log in. And they all hear his lecture. Sometime in the morning and in the evening. So there is a live, you know, lecture. So although he is here, through his energy, he's taking care of the people over there. And they are advancing in their devotional life. They are chanting Hare Krishna. Simply by a person being here. And then this was 20, 30 people. There is another devotee. I think his name is Sankarshan Prabhu. Who does email. He's a Prabhupada disciple, and he's connecting people through email. That's also one form of energy through his writings. And he preaches to new people on the internet. And so like that, now he has almost around 9,000 people connected to him who are becoming devotees, and not only becoming devotees, taking initiation like that and progressing in their spiritual life. So many things can be done on internet nowadays. Our devotees are using it in a very positive way. One student I know, he got married through the internet. Some people, there were advertisements that you can do if you are far away and you want to celebrate Deepavali, do aarti on the internet. You can do aarti on the internet. Because that is the tendency. One wants to use energy to control. And therefore, that can be done very nicely by the Supreme Lord. Another devotee was telling me that how people have this desire to control and become so powerful, supremely energetic. And therefore, the computer provides a virtual reality. And there is a virtual reality where you can have, you can become God. How is that? You can have a whole city or a planet, and there will be people over there, and there are you can destroy them, you can create them. They are living. There is a game like that. Another place, there is a system where you can have a baby, a virtual baby. He cries, you have to feed him on time, you have to put him to rest on time. Things like that. So, but they cannot be present over there, as here it is mentioned that although the Lord, he can also, although he is everything, he is not present in everything. So if a human being can do something like that, then what to speak of the Supreme Lord? For him it is very easy. He may not be there and still he will be there. Further, Srila Prabhupada goes on to say that the Lord must be worshipped in his original form as Krishna. He can also present himself in many of the other various expanded energies. So there are various forms in which the Lord comes. What are the different forms the Lord appears? He appears in his holy name, in the deity form, as the Srimad Bhagavatam, as in the form of the Prasadam. So many different forms the Lord appears. These are all his energies, and he may just appear. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I read that it is mentioned that one can, even by simply offering obeisances and offering worship to the book Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis, one can realize oneself make rapid advancement. Of course, that is not an excuse for reading the Bhagavatam, but that is the power of the Supreme Lord present in Srimad Bhagavatam form. And of course, the holy name, the Lord is present in the form of His holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the holy name was always present in all the yugas. It is not that it was not there. But in Kali Yuga specifically, Srila Prabhupada writes in the life sketch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Bhagavatam that how the holy name appeared along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this material world. So, and then the deity is there. Personally, he is present in the deity form. We can worship him, offer for an impersonalist, it is very difficult. In second chapter, verse 26, Srila Prabhupada, in second chapter, verse 63, Prabhupada writes that the deity, because the impersonalist, for them, the Lord doesn't have a form. So for them to offer anything is very difficult. But for a devotee, it's very easy. He just, Prabhupada writes, he can make wonderful preparations and offer it to the deity form of the Lord and take the remnants of that preparation, and he can be very happy. So that advantage is available to personalist. Just like yesterday, I came very late from a program, and I was thinking that I'm fasting because I had to go for a program. I couldn't eat anything much. I just swallowed something and I went very hastily for a program. So it was after 10, so I was wondering, very difficult, what will I get now to eat? But as soon as I came, devotees are always relishing prasad. There is a place, it's called as Yajnasthali. So they were all sitting over there, and nice prasad was available, even late night. And I was satisfied and very happy. But at the same time, when you see impersonalist, I one time visited one program. Impersonalist, guru had come. He was just wearing a kachha and nothing. He was very lean, very thin, because of and very harsh, because of all the austerities that he had done. And he would not take anything, not eat anything, not drink anything. Aruya krachena, so difficult. For them to realize Krishna, for them to realize God. Birth after birth, undergoing such terrible tapasya. But for devotee, the Lord is appearing in the form of the holy name, which can we can chant and sing, and then take prasad, hear katha. And so Srila Prabhupada says that even if an impersonalist, he hears, then properly from bona fide guru, then he can make advancement and realize and understand the importance of the deity form. Otherwise, it is very difficult for an impersonalist. So then, further Prabhupada writes over here is, when we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. So, Now because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, he is not stone or wood. Yet stone and wood are not different from him. The Lord is stone and wood. He is not stone and wood. He seems to be like stone and wood. These are the three different things mentioned over here. So, in India or anywhere, you will find there are believers, there are non-believers. In India, you find extremists who believe, their belief is like they become fanatics, or if they don't believe, they are completely against. So, of course, in amongst the believers, there was a statistics that somewhere I came across in the news that amongst the youth, they almost 70% of the youth, they believe in God. they want to believe in God. There is a desire and they worship. Some or the other way, they have some belief. There is extreme also. In India, there is a lot of extremes. Like one time our devotees went for book distribution to Kumbh Mela. And at the Kumbh Mela, he was earlier our head pujari, Rup Raghunath Prabhu. He had to go answer nature's call. So Kumbh Mela is generally very crowded. It's a very crowded place in a village sort of setting. There are trees also. So under a tree, he put his shawl over a stone, his saffron shawl. He put it over there and he went to answer nature's call. And when he came back, he saw a lot of people standing in queue and over there near the stone. And there was some kumkum put over there. A lot of coins were put on the stone. And so he was telling me this. I was shocked that, and he came and he pulled his shawl and people were startled. Hey, what are you doing? He said, hey, come on, this is my shawl. What are you people doing? So in India, there is sometimes you have this extreme. You know, we worship anything and everything. We can just go to the extent of even educated people accepting human beings as God. In the West, very rare someone would ever do that. Not find take the such philosophy. But here in India, that in one sense it's nice that people have faith, but blind faith is not encouraged. Blind following is not encouraged. That is wrong. So, and then there are the non-believers who do not believe at all. Then there are, because Shankaracharya's Vedanta was put forward first, it was publicized more. Therefore, people thought that, you know, this is the actual Vedanta philosophy. India stands for, you know, the Shankara, not the Vaishnava, not being represented. Of course, by the efforts of Srila Prabhupada, now so much represented by the Vaishnavas after ISKCON has come. Earlier, and people have forgotten that the actual commentary on the Vedanta, Srimad Bhagavatam, is actually by Vyasadeva originally, which is not given much weightage. And not many people know about it actually. So Prabhupada writes in one place that one may be a big Vedanta scholar, but if he does not know Srimad Bhagavatam, he does not know what is Vedanta. I once went to this Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan where they have a Sanskrit school. And I wanted to meet different people. So there are different Sanskrit scholars in different classrooms sitting over there. So one is grammar, where they teach from Kaumudi, the Panini grammar. Then there is another section of, astrology. There was one section of Vedanta. So I was very inspired. Let me go. What is there? They are teaching Bhagavatam over here. So maybe I'll get to meet. So this person was whom I met was not very happy to see me because he was a Mayavadi. And he had long beard. He was very traditionally dressed, but very hard, very rough. And he saw me with Vaishnav Tilak. So he immediately started talking in Sanskrit to me. So I told him in Hindi that I don't know Sanskrit. I cannot. But he wouldn't listen. He made it a point that if you want to communicate, communicate in Sanskrit. So I, because of the help of Madan Gopal Prabhu, some communication I did with some tuta phuta Sanskrit. And then he started asking, you know the whole Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit? I couldn't understand. I said, I don't know the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart. He asked, do you know by heart? I said, you know, in our temple we have Jagannath Kirtan Prabhu, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu. Some devotees, they know by heart the whole Bhagavad Gita. So then he was asking. So I was like really humbled in front of him that he's such a big scholar and all. So, but then I thought that I have Srila Prabhupada's philosophy. I have heard so much, so many times Prabhupada mentioning these points. Before going, because I wanted to know what are the classes he takes and things like that. Actually, he was sitting with a student and the student was fighting with him in Sanskrit. That was a little surprising for me. So then I asked him that, what is Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta over here? What you're teaching? So he said, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, these are the main thing. So I said that, who has mentioned this? He said, Shankaracharya. So I said, is that Bhagavatam? Or is that the goal of Bhagavatam? What is the goal of Bhagavatam? What does it say? So he was very confused. He just couldn't speak. And then I realized, because once you realize your opponent is weak, you can become a little heavy. So I realized, oh, Prabhupada's philosophy, even a small kid, if he knows it, he can defeat. Prabhupada writes, those who do not know Srimad Bhagavatam, they may be big Vedantists, but they don't know what is Vedanta. So although everything he knows, he doesn't know what is what. Like that. So, there are such type of non-believers. There are the believers in India, then you find the non-believers. And the non-believers, they say, this is stone and wood. Why should you worship God? There is no need to worship God. It's simply a murti. I was going for a yoga class earlier. And in the yoga classes, unfortunately, because I was sick, I was going to this yoga class and the yoga teacher, their whole their organization is Mayavadi. So 1 hour lecture and 1 hour yoga class. And 1 hour lecture was Mayavadi nonsense was spoken. So it was so contaminating. And then one teacher was a very big doctor, a very rich man. He specialized in Tratak. And he came. So they invite him specially to come and give that class. And he spoke. And he saw me, because I was the only one in saffron over there, in the whole class of almost 100 students. So other people, other teachers would always respect, because they saw this person is in saffron. Although they were, you know, they were innocent actually. But this man was actually a Mayavadi. And every time in his class, he spoke about Tratak for 15 minutes. And 45 minutes he spoke about Mayavad. So he would look at me. And then he would quote something and he'd tell something. He'd look at me again. And I would pretend I'm making notes. And so he would look at me and then say, and then he would say that no need to worship God. What is the use of going to God? Stone and wood. Worship yourself. God is inside you. Worship human being. Touch your own feet. Don't touch other sadhus' feet. He mentioned like that, looking at me. No, touch your own feet. At least your stomach will decrease. If you touch your own feet. Means in terms of yoga, if you do exercise and touch your own feet, then at least there is some benefit in touching your own feet. You are losing some fat. You know, but if you touch this sadhu sitting over there, his feet, then, you know, it's a waste of time. Because they are all, there is no God. And I felt so contaminated. I said, my God, I thought it would have been better for me to die and come and learn yoga from these people. But now I have heard that Maya Vad Bhashya Sunile Hoile Sarvanash. That means I'm going to be finished now. I was just praying to Krishna, what should I do? I'll be finished because I heard all this. And so, but there were some people who were nice, so were very innocent. So the last day was the concluding session, certificate giving and all these things were there. So they had a huge hall where a few hundred people could sit. It was round. And in between there was big Om. A huge Om. And a nice stage. So the main guy was there. And he was very respectful to me. So other than... He told me that after their lunch, they eaten too much. So he was feeling very sleepy. So he told me, Swamiji, you speak in the afternoon. And you tell them how you have benefited by our yoga class, all these people. So then they will, you know, take it seriously. So like 3-4 times he told me that you have to tell them this. So I came to know he's going to take rest. So I had carried, that day I knew that I have to save myself because Maya Vahata Bhashya Sunile Hoile Sarvanash was frightened. So one small child would come to our program. So I had taken a small mridanga, you know, the mini children's mridanga is there. I put it inside a bag and I carried to this last concluding day. I was just praying, maybe something would come. And by Krishna's arrangement, it did come. I got the session. All the teachers were sitting, except for the main guy, he had gone. And there were almost 100 people from various parts of Maharashtra over there. And so I spoke about, I defeated whatever Prabhupada's philosophy, the Mayavad's philosophy, very nicely I spoke about it. And then I said, now I cannot speak much, let's have kirtan. So half an hour we had massive kirtan. And initially people were reluctant, but then they started chanting and it became very tumultuous. And the voice reached where this man was sleeping. So he woke up and he immediately came running to the main hall. But by that time I had finished the session. I said, okay. So Swamiji, so he didn't talk to me, just looked at me. And he didn't ask me, did you tell them how you felt about yoga? He understood. I expressed how I felt. And by doing this, I felt relief that, you know, I have balanced whatever nonsense I took. I made all of them chant. One person I gave book. He took Prabhupada's book, SSR, that day. And overnight, he finished the whole book. One of the teachers, one of the main teachers. Other devotee teachers also, after the whole thing, they liked the holy name so much. They said, we have been attending this whole program, you know, the Mayavad thing, but there is no rasa in that. There is no taste. But yes, chanting was very nice. Very nice. Where is your institution? What else do you do? I said, you just come there. We also have many other great things. And Krishna has manifested in different forms. Form of prasad and kirtan and lecture. So you just come. So like that. Although the Lord, when we worship the deity form of the Lord in the temple, deity appears to be stone or wood. Now because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, he is not stone or wood. Yet stone and wood are not different from him. And Srila Prabhupada gives an example. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada, in a letter, he answered that in one sense, before that I would like to read a quote from, actually from the Bhagavatam in the second canto, third chapter. And over there, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Lord in the temple in the worshipable form is never to be considered to be made of stone or wood. For the Lord in the archa incarnation as the deity in the temple shows immense favor to the fallen souls by his auspicious presence. By the hearing process as mentioned herein before, this realization of the presence of the Lord in the temple is made possible. So initially when we come to temple or any other, we don't realize. But when we keep hearing about Krishna, we become more personal in serving to him. Even if we do the deity worship but we don't hear about him, then we can become very impersonal and make offenses while serving the Lord in the deity room. As such, the first process in routine work of devotional service is hearing. It is an essential point. Hearing by all classes of devotees from the authentic source like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is essential. The common man who is puffed up with his material position, I was telling about so many Mayavadis, very puffed up because of his material position, does not bow down before the deity of the Lord in the temple, or who defies temple worship without any knowledge of science. So these people were defying temple worship. They don't know what is the science. Must know that his so-called turban or crown will only succeed in further drowning him in water of the ocean of existence. Prabhupada compares turban and crowns to his ahankara. It's so heavy, it's going to make him drown in the material existence. A drowning man with a heavy weight on his head is sure to go down more swiftly than those who have no heavy weight. A foolish, puffed up man defies the science of God and says that God has no meaning for him. But when he is in the grip of God's laws and is caught up by some disease like cerebral thrombosis, I don't know what it is. Prabhupada actually is quite a frightening purport. He tells, you know, don't believe in God. When you're caught in the law of God, material nature, and you get a terrible disease like cerebral thrombosis, the godless man sinks into the ocean of nations by the weight of his material acquisition. advancement of material existence without God consciousness is a heavy load on the head of human society. And so one must take heed of this great warning. I'd also read the second part because very interesting. The common man, if he has no time to worship the Lord, may at least engage his hands for a few seconds in washing or sweeping the Lord's temple. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, the greatly powerful king of Orissa, was always very busy with heavy state responsibilities. Yet, he made it a point to sweep the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri once a year during the festival of the Lord. So, if you are very busy, at least sweep the Lord's temple once a year, an annual program. The idea is that however important a man one may be, he must accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Whatever great person you are, you cannot be greater than the Supreme Lord. This God consciousness will help a man even in his material prosperity. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's subordination before Lord Jagannath made him a powerful king, so much so that even the great Pathan in his time could not enter into Orissa on account of the powerful Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And at last, Maharaj Pratap Rudra was graced by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the very grounds of his accepting of subordination to the Lord of the universe. So he's also giving a material, that if you accept the Lord, you serve, you accept that He is great, then you will also make material advancement. Pratap Rudra became more powerful. So even though a rich man's wife has a very interesting line. Even though a rich man's wife has glittering bangles made of gold on her hands, she must engage herself in rendering service to the Lord. So however rich, great a person may be, he should... And we see who are pious, who understand, however rich they may be, they will have a deity room in their house, they will worship Lord Krishna. Prabhupada gives so many times example of Padampat Singhania. He had his own temple and they were giving rent to the temple. And if they would not go to take darshan of the Lord, then the pujari would come home and he would fine them 10 rupees or whatever fine. Today you did not come for taking darshan. That is the rule they had made in their house. Accepting Krishna as the supreme. And that is all one needs to do. Just accept this supremacy of the Lord. And if we don't accept now, then material nature will force us to accept. So either forcibly or willingly. Because that is our eternal position. In a letter, Srila Prabhupada, this point that Krishna has appeared now because the Supreme Lord, thus by worshipping stone or wood, he says he's appearing in his stone and wood and he's not there. Prabhupada gives the example of a man who was writing letters and then he was sending it in the west to his friend. Then one day he realized how much money I'm spending on postage. I have to do is put it in a box. So he made his own box and he started putting letters. And then after putting many letters, he came and he saw all letters are lying down over there. None of them went over there. So the point here is, because the Supreme Lord does not have material body, he is not stone or wood. Yet stone and wood are not different from him. Thus by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. But when the stone and wood are represented in the Lord's original form, by worshipping the deity, we get the desired result. Similarly, just like this post box. So there is a particular method of worshipping. Although this is stone and wood, it is not stone and wood because the Lord is there. So if we go and worship any stone and wood, we will not get the desired result. But because Krishna is kind, he has come in his form of his deity. That's his mercy. And this can be understood by a devotee. And because he's giving his mercy, come in the form of stone. So if an atheist comes and breaks the stone, he comes and breaks the deity. And Prabhupada writes, if an atheist breaks the deity, then he glorifies. He says, that is Krishna's greatness. Then he's breaking stone. He said, that is how Krishna is present simultaneously. He's also stone and he's also deity. That's an amazing point mentioned over here. This is supported by, that is his Achintya Bhedabhed. This is supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bhedabhed, which explains how the Lord can present himself everywhere and anywhere in the form of his energy to accept service from his devotee. So, in the deity form, Lord Krishna, he is accepting service from his devotee by allowing him to serve him, offer bhoga to him. But we have seen that Krishna is so kind, he is also serving his devotee. We know the pastime of the Sakshi Gopal, the deity coming all the way and giving Sakshi, serving his devotee. Prabhupada writes over here, he's come mercifully to accept service, but he's also serving. In the case of Draupadi, Lord Krishna incarnated as a sadi to serve his devotee. So the Lord is so much in the mood of serving his devotee, either in the form of deity or in the form of prasad. If he would not be here, it would be very difficult for us to, if we realize that we are so insignificant, we cannot do anything. Just like a baby, you know, crying, helpless. But Krishna is making all arrangements. Only thing we are doing is desiring the right, the right desire. And then Krishna makes, okay, this direction you want to go, he makes arrangement if you desire that way. So, I will end over here on this purport. Thank you very much for your attentive listening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.